Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Molloy here on Nova M Radio Network. It's about 7 past the hour. I hesitate because, I'm not sure exactly. I really am not sure exactly how to begin here tonight, except to tell you that joining us in a few minutes will be John Laish. He's the man who's going to hand Denny Hastert his ticket home back to the Illinois 14th District next Tuesday. If you want to find out about John Laish, go to his website right now. It's John, J-O-H-N, John06.com. He is running against this corrupt Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. We will get to this a little bit later, but it turns out today that a business executive who's on the board of directors of Radio Shack and who is one of the leading lights in Republican fundraising, has been busted, and his bond was set $100,000 for child pornography. I'll tell you about that in a second. So there's somebody in the business community. This guy, Representative Don Sherwood in Pennsylvania, who is running for re-election in the 10th District of Pennsylvania, I believe, it turns out that he is paying his ex-mistress about $500,000 to keep her quiet. This is the woman that he beat the hell out of in a hotel room. They're all married. All these people are married and have children and are strong advocates of family values and Republican values and the right wing and conservative values and, oh, my God, don't let the queers marry and all this other stuff. But Don Sherwood, Republican, is facing a $500,000 hush money payment, or is handling that with his mistress. And there's some terms to that agreement that was signed a year ago that state that she has to shut up, just shut her damn mouth, or he'll beat her again, I guess, until after the election. I'm not laughing at the assault. I'm laughing at the stupidity of these bastards. And then the third one, of course, you've all heard about this, Ted Haggard, who is one of the leading lights of the Christian right, a real gay-bashing son of a bitch, a real so-called family values, just a real right-winger. He resigned today as president of the National Association of Evangelicals amid allegations. I'll do it the right way. Amid allegations that he carried on a 3-year sexual relationship with a male prostitute. But there are audio tapes and there are letters and there are all kinds of things. God. Yeah, this is a guy who Haggard, you've seen him on television. He makes lots of noises against gay unions. Sinful. Yeah, you know, according to all of these right wingers, right? It's not a good thing for people who are in love, happen to be the same gender, to get married or have a civil union. They don't want your damn marriage. They want a civil union. They just want the legal protections, like everybody else. That's a bad thing. But sneaking around having sex with a male prostitute, that's okay, you know. So somebody in business, somebody in politics, and somebody in religion, all the extreme right, all three of these pigs popped, so to speak, today. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But did you hear what John Kerry said? Oh, Jesus God, yeah. He was standing in front of a bunch of college students, and he said, you know, I saw this Haggard's story on NBC and then on ABC, and I just thought, oh my God, isn't this the way it goes? Now, see, everybody's. I wonder how the pig man or the rest of these thugs are going to spin this. Well, listen to the liberals beating up on queers now. No. What we're beating up on is hypocrisy. The massive, stinking, filthy hypocrisy of these people. Yesterday, I don't know if we got to this. We'll get to all that later. Bush said yesterday that he wants Rumsfeld and Cheney to remain in his administration until the end of his presidency. Well, that could be quicker than you think, chuckle nuts. He gave an interview in the Oval Office, and according to CNN, it was a CNN interview. We're very close to midterm elections now, and of course, Bush tried to steer the questions away from politics beyond saying that he was confident that Republicans would defy the polls and hold control of both the House and the Senate, right? And then he refused, when questioned about it, he refused to say whether he would work effectively with Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid if Democrats won the House or the Senate or both. You know, I guess because he thinks if it appears that even the fraudulent voting machines have been overcome, and that America's finally had their stomach full of these sons of bitches. I guess what Bush has figured out, well, I can always declare martial law. I can always have another, quote, attack, end quote, on the United States and declare martial law. So I'm not too worried about it, right? That's what it sounds like. Either that, or he is what Andrew Sullivan says he is. He is insane. He's finally out of his mind. Finally out of his mind. What did Andrew Sullivan... right-wing gay man, which I don't know, I can't get my head around that, but Andrew Sullivan, who is has been a hard-line right-winger, even though he supports the very policies that would roast him in an oven under the right circumstances, that would castrate him under the right circumstances, that would kill him, cut his throat, cut his head off, you know, the Christian right. But for some reason, Andrew Sullivan claims to be a right-winger, a conservative. Okay. Today he said that the election coming up next Tuesday is not an election, it's an intervention. Because these people are so out of touch with reality. So gone. But anyway, so there's Chuckle Nuts. Saying, no, I'm sticking with my vice president, my secretary of defense, even though Democrats as well as Republicans have screamed and frothed for Rumsfeld's resignation. Has anybody destroyed the U.S. military worse than this bastard? Has anybody? I mean, he's done a worse job than Robert McNamara. And nobody ever thought that could be possible. McNamara, the one who designed our assault against the Vietnamese people back in the 60s. I swear to God, most historians, even McNamara, who is here towards the end of his life, just stumbling and spitting and frothing all over himself to apologize for what he did. McNamara. Rumsfeld makes McNamara look like an amateur. Because I tell you why, a quick example. We are now trading, we are great friends with Vietnam, even though we've destroyed their country and wiped out 2 or 3 million of their people. And set their unborn up to be born with hideous birth defects because of Agent Orange, and our own people, hideous birth defects. We've utterly, almost literally destroyed the country, but all of a sudden we're great friends with them because it's one more place where American corporations can go and get people to work for 10 cents an hour. And the Vietnamese now can also import Chinese and Japanese companies who will also pay them 10 cents an hour. And they can make all kinds of things and sell to us because we are such goddamn fools. That's why. Because we will bomb a country into the Stone Age, and in spite of what everybody said about this war, and then 20 years later we're dancing on the stages in Hanoi, and playing kissy face with people who 40 years ago 58,000 Americans had to go die to defeat. That's how sick corporate America really is. That's how sick the ruling class is in this country. Do you understand that? A lot of you people think that, I've never claimed to worship at the altar of the Democratic Party. I said I'm a traditional Democrat, and I always will be. Capital D. But I realize what has happened to the Democratic Party as well as the Republican. The Democratic Party is not nearly as corrupt as the Republican Party, and there's still redemption ahead for the Democrats, because we're going to put them in office, and then we're going to cleanse the party. But my God, this is just insane. Bush said he valued Cheney's advice and judgment. Bush said, the good thing about Vice President Cheney's advice is you don't read about it in the newspaper after he gives it. What does that mean? No, you read about it in the obituaries of thousands of Americans who are dying.
Nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Bush, in this interview with CNN, Bush went on to say that he credited Rumsfeld with overseeing wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Bush said, I'm pleased with the progress we're making. How can somebody be this out of touch with reality? I really mean that. Afghanistan is just spiraling into chaos. In Iraq, the military now has the word chaos up on a chart as the indicator moves from peace to chaos, inexorably keeps moving to the right, to chaos. Both countries are going to go down in U.S. military history as classic examples of, first of all, unnecessary invasions, and secondly, of how not to fight a war. This is going to wipe off the history books the horrendous debacle that Russia or the Soviet Union had in Afghanistan, which in its turn had wiped off the book, so to speak, the horrible adventure that the British had in Afghanistan 150 years ago. What is it about Afghanistan? Well, for one thing, it is a country that exists in maybe the 10th century, maybe the 12th century. It is tribal. They are no more interested in Bush crap or Harman Karzai crap or Tony Blair crap or NATO crap than they're interested in whether or not the moon is made out of green cheese. It's astonishing. Bush sits there and says, well, Rumsfeld has done a great job in Iraq and Afghanistan. Andrew Sullivan is right. This man has become delusional. At Daily Kos, a couple of days ago, written by R.I.P. Russ. I don't know who this person is, but I got to share with you what he wrote. He writes, I know this is probably the 2000th post about John Kerry today, and Kerry should not be what we are talking about this close to the midterm election, but there's a personal element for me to this story today, and I felt I really wanted to comment on it, and why the Republican Party smear campaign against Kerry today was so outrageous to me personally and to my family. I didn't support John Kerry in the primary in 2004. I won't support him in 2008. He ran a poor campaign, which I believe cost us the White House, and I won't support giving him our party's nomination so he can do it again. I will, of course, vote for whoever the nominee is, Democrat, as I did in 2004, so it's not like I'm some big John Kerryite. On June 13 of this year, my younger brother Russ was killed in Afghanistan. There's obviously no need for me to explain the pain this caused me and my family, from my mother to Russ's twin brother to his fiancée. We were contacted by all members of our state's congressional coalition, all Republicans, and by our governor, a Democrat. Only one politician from outside the state contacted us, and that was John Kerry. At Russ's funeral, the only two politicians who attended were Governor Lynch, a Democrat, and John Kerry. No, cynics, he didn't advertise his appearance or make any statements to the media about it, so don't suggest he did it to win votes. Since the funeral, a couple of our congressmen have followed up a little with our family, So has Governor Lynch. So has Senator Kerry. He has called my mother on multiple occasions and offered to do anything he can to help us. In short, he was there for my family, the family of a fallen soldier. He continues to be there for us and has offered to do more. What he said the other day was clearly a slip of the tongue. He was talking about Bush and misspoke slightly. The White House knows it just as we know it. But for cheap political gain, Bush and company are trying to make it sound as if he's insulting the troops when they absolutely know that is not the case. As someone who has experienced Kerry's support for the troops firsthand, and as someone who has seen him give some small amount of comfort to my grieving mother, I can't put into words how offensive I find the false suggestion for cheap political gain that Kerry wants to insult our troops and their families. To everyone out there trying to make that case, Bush, Cheney, Tony Snow, McCain, among others, one simple message: go to hell. Yeah, go to hell is right. Through yesterday, as a result of Bush's lies, 2,818 U.S. military fatalities in Iraq. As of yesterday, as a result of Bush's lies, 346 U.S. military fatalities in Afghanistan. As a result of George Bush's lies, as of yesterday, 20,687 U.S. military maimed in Iraq. As a result of Bush's lies, as of yesterday, 655,000 Iraqis reported killed. George W. Bush, the leader of the free world.
I've reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. Joining us for a few minutes now is John Leish. He is the man who is going to represent the 14th District of Illinois. That seat now represented by Dennis Hastert after this coming Tuesday. Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing great, and Mike, people are excited to have you back.
Hey, I'm excited to be back, John.
That's great.
You know, I was looking at your website today. This is kind of cool. Republicans leave Hastert out of advertisement in Lee County, Illinois, and there's a graphic there, and you click on it. Vote November 7th for these Republican candidates, and it lists all these Republican candidates. Where's Hastert?
I don't know. Maybe they forgot him.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I wonder how Hastert feels about that. How's it going, John?
Hey, it's going great. All the people out there that have been working hard and you know, contributing to this campaign, supporting us, it's starting to pay off. Denny Hastert's back home in the 14th. He's campaigning full-time, and he's trying to hold on to the last bit of power he's got. He knows he's not going to be speaker even at the far stretch that the Republicans should hold on to Congress, which is highly unlikely. And it's starting to wear thin out here. So we're getting a real positive response, and it's just been fantastic.
What is the one or two issues most brought to your attention when you're out addressing civic groups, talking to people, going to John Leish rallies? What in your district, what are people talking about now?
It's Iraq, Iraq, Iraq.
Really?
If I was to give you two, I would, but people are looking for someone who has experience in leadership and one to take our country in a new direction. I think they realize they've been lied to. They're tired of turning on the TV and watching Bush perpetuate the fallacy that somehow being in Iraq is making us stronger at home.
What about questions regarding, for example, this legislation that Bush signed, that the so-called torture legislation, the legislation that gives him the power to turn the military into police force for civilian enforcement if necessary. Are people aware of what this administration has done, John?
You know, I don't think they are. I think, you know, few high-minded people understand how this destroys our civil liberties in this country and the very basic freedoms that we have and basically undermines the essence of democracy. So, you know, I was really disappointed, Mike, that we didn't filibuster that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we could have filibustered that in the Senate, stopped it right there until we could change Congress and the Senate and put forward real legislation that will keep America safe.
Absolutely. There, I have to tell you, you know, John, my feelings about this. There are some Democrats in the Senate that I've been pretty dodgy. My feeling is this. The Democratic Party has got to get control of both the House and the Senate. And then if there are Democrats who vote more like Republicans, they can be dealt with in primaries. They can be dealt with in party caucuses. But the most important thing right now, I think, for this entire country, including the 14th district, is to get rid of the people who, for some reason, and I don't quite get this, John, are really, truly destroying this country. I can't get my mind around that. When I look at a Republican, I see somebody, regardless of their gender or their race, but somebody who looks pretty much like me, just American. And
right.
I don't understand why this assault on America from within the country by Republicans has occurred. Do you have any idea why?
I guess it'd be misinformation and lack of education, and part of it, you know, is a direct result of the fact that so many people are working two and three jobs, working harder and paying less attention to even the sound bites that are coming across their television. So
it's just not getting the information like we should.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this, but it's the far right and the far left and a few people on each side that actually know what's going on, and the rest of the sort of uninformed middle decides who's going to be president.
Well, what is so irritating to me is that there seems to be an attitude in corporate media or mainstream media or right-wing media, whatever you want to call it, that insists on keeping the vast bulk of us just uninformed. I think most Americans can tell you more about the latest scandal of some Hollywood Tom Cruise. You know what popped up today? Tom Cruise is going to be in charge of one of the Hollywood studios. Why do I know that? Why do I, as an American, know that? And why do I give a tinker's damn about that? I shouldn't know that.
Well, yeah, and that's why I think so many people are excited to have you back.
Well, all right. What is your immediate plan? You've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday left. What are you doing right now, John? To A, get the vote out, because I think that's going to be the key: getting Americans out to the polls, getting the vote out, and how are you fixed for money?
Well, you couldn't be more accurate. Right now, in fact, above contributions, what we really need is we need people that can make phone calls. So if people want to go to john06.com and just send a message to the info account there, info@john06,
mm-hmm.
Within the next 48 hours, they'll get a list of 25, 50 names, however many they can afford to call. Or if they're listening and they're not online, they can, you know, just call the office, 630-385-8568.
And by the way, all this information John is giving is at his website. Go to it, John, john06.com, and it's right there on the left.
Right.
All right, so you will send out 20, 25 names to somebody, no matter what. They can be in Bangor, Maine. It doesn't make any difference. You'll send them a list of people to call on the 14th.
Correct. And Maine, there's a lot of educated people because they have a decent health care plan.
Right.
They have a publicly financed campaign, so... we'd like people from Maine to call because they stand where I stand.
That's a great idea. I got a phone call. I've gotten several here in Georgia, which is just totally eaten alive by Republicans. But the governor here, Sonny Perdue, I got a call, asking me to vote for him. Well, the person who made the call in the first place, I did some checking. You know, I finally got around to asking her where she was calling from, and she refused to tell me. But she wasn't. The attitude was she really didn't seem to care. It was a telemarketing job. She was obviously being paid, which is fine, you know, being paid to make a telemarketing call. I think volunteers, one of the campaigns that I worked on, I was part of the Peanut Brigade for Jimmy Carter way back in 70, or in 80, in 79, leading up to the 80 election. And none of us got paid. You know, we sat down and made phone calls. And this is so important for people to do. And I think your idea is great. Send out 25 or 30 names. Let people call who are not professionals, who would just get on the phone. And if you send them a script or whatever, I would prefer for people to just get on the phone and say, "Hi, I'm calling on behalf of John Leish. Vote for him, for God's sake."
Yeah, right. Well, it's a real simple conversation. Are you happy with the way things are going in Washington? And a good percent, I would say 70, are unhappy with the leadership. And then they just have to know what I stand for. And, you know, if people want to make these calls, they can, again, log on to john06.com and find out more about me. We got another new site up called therealdenny.com, and it highlights Dennis Hastert's cover-up of, not of the Mark Foley case, but cover-up of the abuses on the Northern Mariana Islands. And we're going to be hitting him over the head with that. Hopefully we'll get Wendy, who documented these abuses. Are you familiar with it? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Okay, absolutely.
The Abramoff, Hastert.
Sure. Oh, my God.
Tom DeLay cabal cover-up of horrid conditions in Saipan, which is a U.S. protectorate.
Sure. Why are we not surprised that the Abramoff trial has been put off until after the first of the year?
Yeah, right.
Because of all that is going to come out. That would probably cost 10 or 15 more Republicans their seats if this were to come out beforehand. Did you know, speaking of CNN, or when I worked there, we called it Chicken Noodle News, and Tom Cruise coverage, here we are, three, 4 days before the election, John, and Larry King right now has on his program Jay-Z Knight, and is that a woman, Kathy? And oh, that's right. And oh, there she is. And all sorts of so-called spiritualists. And they're talking about think your way to love and money. That's the topic on Larry King tonight on CNN, John.
Well, Larry King hasn't heard of John Lash. What he wants he really wants is an inspirational young carpenter from Newark, Illinois, who's running against the Speaker of the House to carve out a new direction for America. So if anybody wants to call Larry King and get a new visitor on, you know, they can help us out that way as well.
Well, I'm so impressed. Anyone who wants to go to your website and look at your record in the Navy or your record working in the mission field in West Africa. Compared to Hastert, I don't see how people even have to give it a second thought. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, John, if they live in Illinois' 14th district and can look at a comparison between you and Hastert, I don't see how anyone could hesitate to say, well, it's time to move forward. Let's vote for John. I just don't get it. Honest to God.
Well, I think people are waking up here. I mean, Hastert's taken two polls, and he wouldn't be back here if he didn't have anything. I'm not spending any money on polls. So I think, you know, we've been working hard, and it really has been the volunteers that have just given, their blood, sweat, and tears for this country, and I call them progressive patriots. That's what they are. We're fighting to take our country back, and I agree with you that the first step is to stop the Republican cabal in Washington and then start cleaning our own house and getting more progressive patriots in Washington, D.C.
John, it's always a pleasure and honor to speak with you. I know you are going to wind up as the member of Congress from the 14th. We're out of time here, and I know you have other things to do tonight. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you after the election, Mr. Congressman. Take care, okay?
Take care, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, John. Bye. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
In the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children, just building the cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand. But what kind of a man should have to sacrifice his life for an area of sand?
It's about 10 before the hour. Coming up after the break at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about these three leading conservatives, one in business, one in religion, a Christian religion, and one in politics, and their sexual escapades. So, you know, if you have young children, it's not, the program's not designed for young children. So parental guidance is suggested. You know what we have to cut, Kathy? We have to cut a little, one of those warnings. The program you are about to hear is rated PG-13. Parental discretion is advised.
Thank God Molly's asleep.
Yeah, really.
We need a Malloy V-chip.
So anyway, coming up, I prefer pretty much to stick to the issues, but these are issues. The Republicans, starting with the Chuckle Nuts himself, when he was down here in Crackerland in South Georgia the other day, once again, he brought up the gay civil union issue that the New Jersey Supreme Court said, look, equal protection under the law either means equal protection under the law or it doesn't. Strike it from the Constitution. But it means what it means. You know, nobody is asking to say that. I don't think anyone is asking for marriages or civil unions to be sanctioned by a church. This makes no sense. A church can sanction a marriage. A Buddhist temple can. A Islamic mosque, a Jewish temple. If you want a religious ceremony, go ahead. But a marriage, a civil union, two people getting together, that's about taxes and property and visitation and children and inheritance. That has nothing to do with Muhammad. That has nothing to do with Jesus or Moses. It really, or the Buddha, it really doesn't. So here they go again. With this so-called gay marriage issue, I am so tired of that issue. Why are you bringing it up then? Well, because of the blatant, absolute hypocrisy. The Republicans have made homosexuality a political issue. The Republicans have made the desire of folks who happen to be gay and want to live a normal life an issue. By normal, I mean pay their taxes, go to work, raise their children, do whatever they want without being considered some sort of freak by these right-wingers. So in the interest of fair play, we're going to discuss it tonight. You know, let he who is without sin cast the first gleaming disco ball. It's the hypocrisy! And speaking of hypocrisy, I don't know if this is hypocrisy or not. I don't know if this qualifies as hypocrisy, but I flipped through the news channels tonight. CNN, Blitzer was on, and he had Tony Snow. And Blitzer just went on and on and on with this right-wing pissant. And Snow's standing there. He's all by himself talking with Blitzer. Blitzer doesn't challenge a damn thing he's saying. Tony Snow is standing there, not as White House press secretary, but as right-wing Republican political operative, saying Democrats don't have a plan, don't know what to do about anything. Hey, Tony, you half-wit, Democrats are not in power. You are! And then switch to MSNBC, and there's Chris Matthews, or as I affectionately call him, Tweety Bird. And He's got Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. I wonder if Tony was aware that one of his boys was just caught having rough trade sex with a prostitute. There's Tony Perkins. There's Kate Byrne from National Review. And Mike Barnicle is now the liberal spokesman. Mike Barnicle, the plagiarist from the Boston. It was a Boston Herald, the Boston, what? One of the Boston newspapers. And he was fired, remember, several years ago, because he was stealing other people's writing. So that's the panel on Chris Matthews' Hardball. Mike Barnicle, the plagiarist, Tony Perkins, the psychotic Christian killer, and Kate Byrne, who I don't know what the hell she's about. But when Tony Perkins, and I'm not saying Mike Barnicle didn't make some positive statements. He said that Tony Perkins was out of his mind, which to me is a positive statement. I'm just saying, you know. But there's Tony Perkins saying that a couple of weeks ago, the Republican base was all disillusioned. You know, the Foley thing and everything. But then the New Jersey gay marriage ruling by the Supreme Court and John Kerry's statement the other. Those two things, according to Tony Perkins, have activated the Republican base. And now they're going to turn out by the tens of millions and vote for Jesus or whatever it is they're supposed to be voting for because of a throwaway statement misinterpreted deliberately by the Republicans, a statement made by Kerry, and because the New Jersey Supreme Court said, yeah, you know, equal protection under the law means just that. It must be hell to be a right-wing Christian evangelical. Half your people are boinking young boys. The other half are cheating on their wives. They're all involved with Abramoff somehow. It doesn't make any difference how many members of these mega churches, the ministers and the pastors. Look, there's a rule of thumb. The louder they scream against gays, the more the chance is that they're sleeping. You know, they got some male prostitute someplace who slips into town every once in a while and they get together and do each other. You know that. You know that as well as I know that. And the Republican Party, it's the hypocrisy. The GOP is the gay old party. This is the part that just irritates the hell out of me. The Republican Party is pretty much dominated by men who are living a double life, who are gay, who hide it, who vote against their own interests, who are so full of self-loathing and self-hatred because they don't have the courage to stand up and say, yeah, I'm gay, so what? And so they work against other gay folk and themselves, and it just keeps dribbling out. You notice this? It just keeps coming out and coming out and coming out again and again and again. And now it's this horrific Christ murderer, Ted Haggard. We're going to talk about this nastiness coming back. Stay with us. Oh, yeah, Jay-Z Knight. She was the one that used to channel that 10,000-year-old cave person named Ramtha. And she's on Larry King. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Welcome back. It's about 6:30 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. You're listening to Nova M Radio Network. And probably through the facilities of KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Andrew Sullivan, who used to be a liberal, then he became a conservative, and now I think he's kind of caught on the horns of a dilemma, so to speak. He's been very critical lately of Republicans and conservatives. He is an out gay man who kind of takes the attitude, which I think is a good one. His sexual orientation is utterly irrelevant, and that's the way it should be in this country. It really should. I mean, it really should. Totally irrelevant. But the Republicans, the conservatives, have made it one of those famous wedge issues and they use it repeatedly to divide America, not to unite America, not to make us more accepting and understanding and tolerant of each other, but to make us more suspicious and fearful of each other and more divisive. I can't stand that. At a different time, in a different place, still today, race was used for that. Gender was used for that. Now sexual orientation is used for that. Political affiliation is used that way. This used to be, in fantasy, I'm not talking about reality, in fantasy, this used to be a country where people worked together cooperatively. What's the Jimmy Stewart movie that'll come up this year again, the Christmas Wonderful Life? I've seen it so many times I can't remember the title. But, you know, that's America we all used to live in. Now, the truth is none of us ever lived there. But that's the kind of ur-consciousness. That's the collective consciousness. We all lived in, what was the town, Kathy? Were they Potter's Corners? Potter's Field?
Can we do movie trivia another night?
No.
I'm
trying to make a point here. What point was I trying to make? But that's what the Republicans have done. They have divided us to the point now where we can't even live in Happy Corners or whatever the hell it was. What was the name? All right, somebody will send it to me. I'm sure it's coming right now. The Republicans have taken sexual orientation. They've taken gender. They've taken religion. They've taken everything they could get their filthy hands on and turned it into a wedge issue. So that I'm suspicious of you and you don't like me, and we will agree that he over there is really a freak and that one over there, she's out of her mind simply because the way she looks, the way she dresses, what her orientation is, what her gender is, what her religion is, what blah, 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 or whether or not she even has a religion, you see. So as Andrew Sullivan writes, while the media is obsessed parsing the ad-libs of someone on no ballot this fall, that would be Kerry, something truly ominous has just happened in Iraq. The commander-in-chief. Now, I wonder if the people in Perry, Georgia realized this the other night. The commander-in-chief has abandoned an American soldier to the tender mercies of a Shiite militia. I wonder if the crackers down there at the Georgia fairgrounds the other night, we played the sound bites for you, with the crackers down there just screaming their approval of this cowardly son of a bitch. I wonder if they know that George W. Bush, the great protector, has abandoned an American soldier. The essential fact of this story is clear. In a showdown for control of Baghdad, the Iraq prime minister took orders from Muqtada al-Sadr, the head of a huge Shiite militia, and instructed the U.S. military to withdraw from Sadr City. Now, why was U.S. military there other than the fact that they're involved in an illegal, nasty occupation and war? They were trying to stabilize the city and to find a missing American serviceman. He's still missing. Now, as most of us in this country know, whether we've served in the military or not, because by God, we've seen enough movies, the military, the U.S. military, does not have a tradition of abandoning its own soldiers or taking orders from foreign governments once they are engaged in a military operation. Whether you agree with war or not, and most of us don't, it's not the answer to anything. But the facts are the facts. When we have engaged our military in legal wars, illegal wars, occupations, insurrections, overthrow, whatever it has been, we don't abandon our people. Andrew Sullivan writes, no commander-in-chief who actually walks the walk rather than swaggering the swagger would acquiesce to such a thing. The soldier appears to be of Iraqi descent, and he's married to an Iraqi woman. Who authorized abandoning this American soldier to the enemy? Who is really giving the orders to the U.S. military in Iraq? And by the way, where's John McCain on this? Where are you, you freaky son of a bitch? Where are you, McCain? McCain had nothing to say about Cheney's comments about torture. McCain has had nothing to say about Iraq. McCain has had nothing to say about this abandoned soldier. Do you remember what it felt like, John, when you were in the Hanoi Hilton? Do you remember? But oh, how vocal McCain has been on John Kerry. It's infuriating. It's just infuriating. Where's the outrage? Hey Limbaugh, you worthless, bloated pig, where are you on this issue? Your commander-in-chief, you cowardly pimple on your ass freak, your commander-in-chief has abandoned an American soldier and turned command and control of the U.S. military in a war zone over to somebody else. Where are you, Rush? Hey, Hannity, you little pipsqueak, where are you on this one? Oh, and how about Dr. Michael Savage or Dr. Michael Wiener, whatever the hell his name is. Where are you, buddy? On CNN last night, Andrew Sullivan said that Bush is so delusional that, quote, this is not an election anymore, it's an intervention, end quote. I like that. Sullivan, you're good at turning a phrase. Sullivan went on to say that Bush is so in denial. He says that endorsing Rumsfeld or applauding the job that Michael Brown did on Katrina is, quote, unhinged. It suggests this man has lost his mind. No one, objectively, could look at the way this war has been conducted, whether you were for it as I was, or against it, and say that it has been done well. It's a disaster. And Sullivan went on to say, for him to say it's a fantastic job suggests the president has lost it. I'm sorry, there's no other way to say it. These people must be held accountable. End quote. Even Richard Perle, this slimy, cowardly, leading neocon, former Defense Department advisor, a sneaky, devious rat who loves to see people go die as long as it's not him, even he, yesterday, called the Bush administration, quote, dysfunctional, end quote. Richard Perle calling the Bush crime family dysfunctional is like a toad calling a frog ugly. But that shows you just how far into fantasy the Bush crime family's become. So I ask you, Truth Seeker, if you know a Republican, will you please tell that poor soul to not vote this year? Just stay home. If they can't vote for a Democrat, please, please stay home. Please don't put us through another 2 years. Please. I really am asking Republican conservatives, neocons, the religious right, please, on Tuesday, go do something else. We normal people are going to have a hell of a time overcoming the fraudulent voting machines to begin with. We don't need to see your Stepford faces as you walk into the voting booths to vote for these vampires again. Please. Please stay home.
Now, how many people must get killed?
Oil families' pockets to get filled.
How many oil families get killed?
Not a damn one, so what's the deal?
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. speaking of fraudulent elections and voter nullification, our good friend Brad Friedman of bradblog.com is going to be on the program tomorrow night. Did you, I'm sure you heard about the little yellow buttons on the Sequoia voting machines on the back, the ones that allow you to vote multiple times in a single machine? Huh? Even Wolf Blitzer was talking about that, right? We'll chat about that and other dirty deeds tomorrow night. So Andrew Sullivan and a lot of the right wing now are just, I don't know what it is they're pissed off about. George W. Bush has never presented himself as anything other than he is. Oh, I know. He talked about being compassionate conservative, but anybody with an education above fourth grade could have figured that out. God, I did. Anyway, he is Sullivan now is joining the chorus of people who are going way. And I welcome these people to my side. And I welcome Keith Olbermann and all these folks who all of a sudden are starting to say what we've been saying on this program for what, Kathy? 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? That Bush and the rest of these people are utterly screaming mad, insane, out of their minds. So anyone in media, you know, I have great respect for Keith Olbermann. I remember about a year and a half ago, and I started to see the change that was coming over Olbermann. And I used to say to people, tune in, watch this guy, watch this guy. But my God, just because it's on television doesn't mean all of a sudden it's more real than it's been for the past 3 or 4 years. I'm glad people like Andrew Sullivan and Keith Olbermann and the list goes on and on. People who are realizing what we've been talking about, and not just me. Tom Hartman's been talking about it. Randy Rhodes has been talking about it. Peter Werby's been talking about it. There are more. There are lots more. People on so-called left-wing radio who've been trying to make the point that these people are insane. So good for you, Keith. I'm glad you're saying what you're saying. But please, let's not pretend like all of a sudden people are discovering. Well, maybe they are. Maybe people are all of a sudden discovering just how sick and corrupt this administration is, and that's a good thing. But the Bush, you know, Bush who tries, you know, he plays pretend. This is why this election is so important. There has to be a way peacefully, legally to stop this insanity. Not that anything will get done, because Bush can always start vetoing whatever a Democratic-controlled House and or Senate might put together in terms of legislation to try to undo some of the damage. But at least we can hold this bastard in check for the next 2 years. But he loves to swagger around, you know, when he's standing in front of a bunch of crackers or when he's trying to impress people on the deck of a aircraft carrier, 19 and 20 and 21-year-olds with this phony-ass, cowardly swagger of his. But when the chips are down, he cuts and runs. What do you call it? What do you call it? When an American service member is missing in Iraq and you leave the area where this man is being held. What do you call that, truth seeker? Huh? Ask John McCain. He might know. And John Boehner, this majority leader from House Majority Leader from Ohio, being asked by Democrats to apologize for blaming senior military officers for any problems that the Bush administration is having with its Iraq policy. Talk about somebody blaming the troops. What the hell do you call this? Who's out there screaming for Boehner to apologize? Anybody? When he was asked about demands for an apology, he said, good try. This came up Wednesday on CNN. Boehner was in the Situation Room. And he was asked, Blitzer asked for his views on Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and U.S. policy in Iraq. And Boehner said, quote, there are a lot of people who want to blame what's happening in Iraq on Donald Rumsfeld. But when you look at the transformation that our military has been through, it's nothing short of remarkable. The fact is the generals on the ground are in charge. End quote. You lying son of a bitch, do you not understand how military chain of command works? Especially in this adventure? How many generals have been cashiered, Boner, because they spoke the truth about this psychopathic Rumsfeld? Boner went on to say, you have to understand that the generals who have been in charge of the Pentagon have been very resistant to change. So who's blaming the troops for the failures in Iraq? Who is it? Is it John Kerry or is it John Boner?
Piety that doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and quoting from the Bible. I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Baby, I can't stand those Republicans. I hate that old Republican.
I believe that it's very important for people to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
Jesus God. So anyway, John Boner, who is the current House Majority Leader, says that it's really the military that's responsible for the terrible situation this country is in Iraq. It's not Rumsfeld, it's not Bush, it's not Cheney. It's those pesky generals who, when they do say something, when they do take the risk and say something that's quoted somewhere, they're either forced into early retirement. And I'm not talking about criticizing. When you reach the level of these military officers, you understand clearly chain of command. You are not going to criticize no matter what. The last one who did, Douglas MacArthur, was fired by President Truman. Fired! So these guys now are forced into early retirement when they say something like, I think we're going to need 500,000 troops here in Iraq to control the insurgency that's going to happen when we invade. Oh, really? You're fired. Now, not all the generals in Iraq, of course, are the same. Peter Pace, the Marine General, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, top U.S. General, well, just a month ago, who said Donald Rumsfeld is inspired by God. Yeah. Here's his direct quote, referring to Rumsfeld. Peter Pace said, quote, he leads in a way that the good Lord tells him is best for our country, end quote. Now, I thought it was Osama bin Laden who said that God told him to go kill all the infidels. A lot of people still wonder why I think religion sucks. Okay, Republican congressman accused of abusing his ex-mistress. Now, this would be Don Sherwood, Republican from Pennsylvania. I think it's Pennsylvania 10th. Not sure, but it's Pennsylvania. He was charged with violence against his girlfriend. Now, he's married. You know, he has children and all that. But that doesn't matter to the Republicans. The reason I'm bringing this up is I'm begging you Republicans to stay home. Your political party is totally compromised in your minds. It's full of people who cheat on their wives. It's full of homosexuals. It's full of liars. It's full of hypocrites. Now, why is the homosexual thing important? It really isn't, you dumb, freaky right-winger, but you believe it's important. The leadership of your entire party is gay. Don't you understand how you've been played for a jackass? Tell Take a look at the Republican National Committee Chairman Mehlman. Oh, my goodness. Not that there's anything wrong with it. And that's the point. You right-wingers have been beaten into believing that because someone happens to be homosexual, there's something wrong with them. And the people who have pounded that into your head are gay. Jesus. God, how does this happen? Self-hating gays. How does this happen? Don Sherwood, accused of beating his ex-mistress half to death, agreed to pay her about $500,000 in a settlement about a year ago that contained a powerful incentive for her to keep her mouth shut until after this election. This, according to the Associated Press, this just came out today. Representative Don Sherwood is locked in a tight re-election race against a Democratic opponent who has seized on the four-term congressman's relationship with the woman. While Sherwood acknowledged the woman was his mistress, he denied abusing her and said he had settled her $5.5 million lawsuit on confidential terms. That's right. I didn't hit her. I didn't do anything. She sued me because it was Wednesday. And I agreed to pay $500,000 to shut the bitch up because it was Thursday. That's what this means. The settlement reached in November 2005 called for Cynthia Orr, great name, to be paid in installments. She has received less than half the money and will not get the rest of the money until after the November 7th election if she keeps her trap shut. You see, this is how Republicans work. This is how they work. Hush money. Just shut up. Just shut up. Don't say anything. And the evangelical freak, Don Haggard, resigned today because he, too, was innocent of soliciting a prostitute. Oh, no, not me, but I'm going to resign anyway. In Haggard's case, it just happened to be a man, but so what? A confidentiality clause in this Republican Don Sherwood's agreement, after beating this woman half to death, the confidentiality clause requires the woman to forfeit some of the money if she talks publicly about the case. You see how this works? You Republicans, is this what you do? Is this what? Of course it is. Your religious leaders are liars. Your political leaders are hypocrites. Your business leaders like child pornography. Good God, what's left? Where are you going to turn next, huh? What are you going to do next? Stay home Tuesday. You can't vote for a Democrat. Oh, good God in heaven, don't vote for a Democrat. Don't vote for a Democrat who believes in truth and justice and honesty and fair play. No, 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 don't do that, because the Democrats might agree that a civil union is constitutionally protected. It doesn't make any difference if it's a man and woman, man and man, or woman and woman. It doesn't matter. The Constitution does not differentiate. It says equal protection under the law. Don't you? Well, of course you don't understand that. If you did understand that, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in, Mr. and Ms. Republican. Stay home. Just stay home Tuesday. There's nothing out there for you to vote for. You're going to vote for more queers? You're going to vote for more wife cheaters? You're going to vote for more adulterers? Are you going to vote for more pornographers? Are you going to vote for more child molesters? That's what your party consists of. Don't you understand? Don't you read the papers? Don't you watch television? Don't you read the resignation letters? Your party is corrupt. It is rotten to the core. It needs to be cleaned. It needs to be set on fire. It needs to be purged. So what are you going to do, Ms. or Mrs. Republican or Mr. Republican? What are you going to do on Tuesday? If you get down on your knees and pray, Jesus will probably tell you to stay your ass at home and let these people go down. Because you can't vote Democrat, see? You can't vote for somebody who believes in this country. You can't vote for somebody who believes in justice and honesty and decency. You can't do it. It's been wrung out of you. It's been smashed out of you since 1980. You can't do it anymore. So stay home. Stay home. For heaven's sake, what are you going to do? You're going to vote for a hypocrite? A liar? A war lover? An adulterer? A queer! Is that what you're going to do? How many congressional pages need to be buggered, Mr. and Miss Republican? How many Hester the Hutt, corpulent House speakers have to cover it up before you stop the hypocrisy? What do you need? Now, there's nobody in your party to vote for. Every slimy one of them is either a hypocrite, a liar, a sneak, a thief, an adulterer, or queer. So what are you going to do? Stay home. Reached by telephone yesterday, Congressman Don Sherwood, 8 years representing his district in Pennsylvania, 65 years old, married, father of three, a family values conservative, said,
I can neither confirm nor deny that I'm paying the bitch hush money because, you know, it was a private settlement. I'd like to talk to you about it, but I can't.
He didn't say bitch. I added that because that's what these people consider women to be, bitches. According to the police report, Ms. Orr called 911 on her cell phone from the bathroom of Sherwood's Capitol Hill apartment in 2004 and reported that Sherwood had choked her. Had choked her. Now, who's challenging Sherwood? A guy named Chris Kearney. Chris Kearney. Oh, by the way, Don Sherwood is also a used car salesman. Kearneyforcongress.com, if you want to see who this pig's opponent is, this pig Don Sherwood, I'll tell you a little bit about Kearney coming back. Can you believe this stuff? You see why I told you to get your kids away from the radio? It's going to get worse, so stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Why mommy's not here anymore? 'Cause daddy likes porno and $10 whores. Daddy gets wasted and robs liquor stores. Daddy likes rubbing against little boys on the bus. I think that's why your mommy left us.
Governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
Oh, shut up. It's about 10 before the hour. All right, now, so many of the records on Representative Don Sherwood, Republican of Pennsylvania, the records, somehow, the records of the night of the abuse, the police records have disappeared. And Sherwood is not going to face criminal prosecution. The only thing he has hanging over him is the civil lawsuit where the woman who was beaten by him and choked filed a $5.5 million lawsuit. They settled out of court. She's been getting payments. And part of her agreement is don't say a word until after the election. This is what Republicans are. The only way this abuser, and the Blue Devil wrote this, the only way the blogger, the only way this abuser will be held responsible for his actions is at the ballot box. Sherwood's behavior and his voting record have put one of the reddest districts in the country in play. For the first time since Sherwood gerrymandered his district to give himself a permanent seat in Congress, he faces a real challenger. Chris Kearney, a professor of international affairs at Penn State and a lieutenant commander in the Naval Reserves, has stepped up to challenge this evil bastard. And as Blue Devil writes, the differences are crystal clear. Sherwood cheats on his wife and beats his mistress. Chris Carney is a devoted husband and father of five. Don Sherwood is a car salesman turned career politician. Chris Carney has never run for political office. Since September 11th, Sherwood has traveled to D.C. to have an affair and to vote to put Congress in the middle of the Terri Schiavo case. Since September 11th, Chris Carney has traveled from the 10th District to serve his country at the Pentagon in Korea and in Saudi Arabia. Naval Reserve. And it goes on and on and on and on. Go check it out. Carney, C-A-R-N-E-Y, carneyforcongress.com. What are you Republicans going to do? Are you going to vote for people who bugger children? Are you going to vote for people who sit naked in front of their PCs and talk in teenage girl chat rooms? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to go to a church where there's a mega preacher at a mega church who rails against the queers and is having an affair with a male prostitute? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Well, Mike, but the queers can't get married. And Mike, we got to defend our southern borders against the Mexicans.
Jesus. Radio Shack. This is from the Kansas City Star. Kansas City Star, a business executive who also is on the board of directors at Radio Shack, was charged with 3 counts of possession of child pornography. Ronald Elmquist. This is today. 60. The president and CEO of QualServe Corporation, a manufacturer and distributor of food service equipment, was taken in for questioning and arrested Tuesday afternoon by North Kansas City Police. His bond was set at $100,000. For the past 8 years, Elmquist has also been a director of Radio Shack, where he also serves on the corporate governance and audit and compliance committees. Clay County authorities said Elmquist's company issued computer contained a video of a striptease and a sex act performed by a 14-year-old girl. The hard drive also had other images of nude, teenage, and prepubescent girls engaged in various sex acts. Authorities said a company technician found the images after Mr. Elmquist complained of pop-up ads and spyware on his laptop computer. Clay County Prosecutor Daniel White said yesterday, quote, "It's very disturbing that a 60-year-old man who is an executive of a major corporation would be engaging in such perverted behavior," end quote. Oh, my God. Prepubescent girls engaged in various sex acts. Don't let your mind go there. Don't. Huge contributor to the Republican Party, Ronald Elmquist.
Now you know why they ask for your phone number and zip code when you go to buy batteries.
Yeah. And then we had Ted Haggard, one of the most prominent evangelical pastors in the nation, resigned today hours after being accused of carrying on a 3-year sexual relationship with a male prostitute. Haggard, according to the Denver Post, Haggard, founder of the 14,000-member New Life Church, well, no kidding, has denied the accusations but said in a statement released by his church that he could not continue to minister under the cloud created by accusations. He has placed himself on administrative leave, pending investigation, spiritual counsel, and a decision by the church's... Spiritual counsel? For what? You're innocent, right, you lying bastard, huh? Haggard's statement said, quote, "I am voluntarily stepping aside from leadership so that an overseer process can be allowed to proceed with integrity. I hope to be able to discuss this matter in more detail at a later date." I just can't talk about it now. You understand. The former prostitute, who calls himself Mike Jones, of Denver went public with the accusations yesterday, Tuesday, saying he felt compelled to do so because he believes Haggard, a strong opponent of same-sex unions, has been hypocritical. Jones said about his decision to come forward, quote, "I made myself cry and I made myself sick. I felt I owed this to the community, which is saying that we are not worthy, but he is." Jones says he was contacted 3 years ago by Haggard for sex. He thinks that a gay newspaper advertisement or an online ad he posted brought the response, and he posted it at rentboy.com. Oh, my God, rentboy.com. Way to go, Ted! Jones, the whore, said of anti-gay marriage proponents like Haggard, quote, "They want to protect the sanctity of marriage, and I'm trying to figure out what that means, because they're not doing a good job. To have someone in such a high-profile position preaching against us and doing opposite behind other people's backs is hypocritical," end quote. Hypocritical? No. It's not hypocritical, Mr. Jones. It is the way Republicans do things. Oh, and he also said he watched Mr. Haggard take methamphetamines. Ooh. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. Okay, I'm finished screaming. I realize I get out of control, but, you know, when I think about the damage that has been done to my country, to my society, by Republicans, by conservatives, going all the way back, Jesus, I mean, you know, starting with, I guess, the real criminal in modern U.S. political history was Nixon. But the stuff that has been done to us, the Nixon doctrine, the idea of wedge issues, of dividing people here in the South on race, on religious issues, issues that never should have been politicized. But the gay issue is one that just rips my mind into a million pieces. When I stop to think about the people who have suffered, really suffered in this country because of their homosexuality, because of the hate and the lies that have been put out there by these right-wing bastards. I've got a lot of friends who happen to be gay and always have had. And even the people I don't know, you know, I read the paper just like you do. You know, the hate crimes that are committed against folks for what? Because they happen to be gay. And I think how this issue is just pounded into the heads of these right-wing drones, just pounded without let-up. And every once in a while you have a court someplace who says, well, no, look, the Constitution says that the Equal Protection Clause states that... And as soon as the ruling is passed, these right-wing bastards jump up and start screaming about activist courts, activist judges, all the way up to this toy president, this freak who stood down there in South Georgia the other day and brought this issue up again. That's why I get so enraged. When I think about the men and women who have been sent into these horrific combat zones... Look, we're not going to win in Iraq. We're not going to win anything. We're not going to win in Iran or in Afghanistan. We've already been defeated. We were defeated in Southeast Asia when the first American soldiers set foot in that country after the French were defeated at Dien Bien Phu in 1950, what, 54, 5, 53? And for Bush and these sick degenerates who send our people over there to kill and to be killed, we're approaching 3,000 dead soldiers. For what? This is why I go insane. I can't stand what they have done to our country. These right-wingers, these lying hypocrites, every one of them, I can't, whether they're religious leaders or political leaders or business leaders. Look at Ken Lay. Look what Ken Lay did before the evil bastard keeled over with a heart attack. I mean, look what these people have done. So if you are addicted to this right-wing nonsense, are you going to vote for a child molester this year? How do you know that the Republican running for office that you are going to vote for doesn't have something like this in his past? Huh? He's a wife beater. He's an adulterer. He's a liar. He likes to watch 10-year-old girls have sex on the internet. How do you know? This is what, or worse to you people, he's queer! How are you going to do it? How are you going to vote to keep these people in office? How are you going to do it? Do you know what's going to happen if you support this? You right-wingers, I've been told over and over and over again, are much more religious than us Democrats. You have a much better relationship with God and Jesus. Okay, I'll grant you that. You know what's going to happen to you when you step off this mortal coil? If that stuff is true, you're going to go right down into the fiery pits of hell along with the people who led you there. Do you understand that? Isn't that what your religion preaches? Isn't that what you're taught from cradle to grave? Stay home. Stay home on Tuesday. Or vote Democrat if you can do that. There's some really good men and women out there who are running for office, who are not pedophiles, who are not war lovers, who are not liars, who are not adulterers, and who aren't queer. Since that seems to just drive you crazy. And there's also some good ones out there who are queer. So can you vote Democratic on Tuesday? You can. All you have to do is to walk in and push the button or pull the lever on those phony-ass machines that your party put out there to steal elections to make sure that more pedophiles and more liars and more adulterers and more war lovers and more queers can get elected. Stay home. Do yourself a favor, because if you participate in this, do you realize what furnaces in hell are waiting for you? Hmm? Sure you do. I'm not preaching to you. You understand it. You preach to me. You tell me the Bible is inerrant. What does it say? When the law, God's law, is laid out, what does it say about hypocrites? What does it say about liars, cheats, sneaks? What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Can't you read? Don't you read your Bible? You people have been bashing me across my face with your Bible for 50 years. Don't you read it yourself? What did Jesus say about the peacemakers? Stay home Tuesday. Or go vote Democratic. Okay. Let's do some phone calls. If you want to join in, the number is 800-939-1480. I just had a lot to say tonight. I'm sorry. This stuff hit about 4 o'clock this afternoon. I'm just, this fall, the foliage here in North Georgia has been beautiful. It's just stunning. The reds and the shades of red and the crimson and the yellows, and it's just been unbelievable. Even here in Atlanta, on our street, or at Stone Mountain Park, where I take Molly to ride on the playground stuff, not ride on, but to climb around. It's been gorgeous, beautiful, stunning. the best, most colorful fall we've had here in probably 10 years. Just and it's just, you know, you step outside and the temperature today was in the 50s. You take a deep breath and the air is clean once again here in the north, the foothills of North Georgia Mountains. You just go, oh, man. And we come back from playing on all that playground equipment that Molly just so dearly loves. And we come back in the house and Kathy says, have you seen this breaking story? I said, no, I've been outside I've been out in the fresh air. And I sit down in front of the computer and all of a sudden just this avalanche of filth and Republican lies and distortions and religious hypocrisy, and it just comes rolling out of the computer like just smelly brown vomit. It just rolls out and it keeps rolling. And I think, oh my God. Let me go back to the playground. Come on, Molly, let's get the hell out of here. It's been a beautiful fall. I hope where you live it's been as gorgeous. I'm talking about the leaves changing. And I realize in the northern tier of states it's all gone now. But here in the south, here in Georgia especially, we went up to the mountains 2 Sundays ago, and it was spectacular. And it works its way down. And now it's here in the Atlanta area. And it's just unbelievably gorgeous. I don't know why I brought up the foliage report for you, but I guess the contrast. And then I look at the garbage that's being spewed here in the last 3 or 4 days before this election. The Bush crime family has committed suicide. It's dead. It really is. It's still walking around, but it has a stake in its heart. Its eyes are glazed over. It's starting to decay already. It's crumbling. For God's sake, look forward. Vote some Democrats into office. Save this republic. Can you do that? If you can't do that, will you please just stay home? Please, please. Your phone calls when we come back.
It's hard for me to say I didn't have pictures with the guy when I did. I mean, people, it's part of the job of the president to shake hands and with people and smile.
Talking about your buddy Jack Abramoff there, George. All right, let's go to the phone calls here. Once again, I've had people hanging on forever. I apologize. Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Hey, Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mark. Mike, sorry. Thanks. It's a great time to be a Republican, isn't it?
How so?
Well, there's all these scandals going on, and you know, everybody's just really pissed off at them. It's just a.
I would be afraid to walk down the street if I were a Republican and let people know I was a Republican. I guess at various times in human history, people who were lepers had the same thing. You know, they were afraid to I think leprosy is the only disease mentioned in the Bible. And I would imagine that's what most Republicans feel like now, biblical lepers.
Yeah, well, unfortunately here in Texas, and as I imagine where you are in Georgia, they are walking a little too proud. But I guess it's just because they haven't been able to take any hints, at least from the Democratic movement. I mean, I have one of those evangelical friends who are just complete idiots, but you got to love them because they're the only people who will talk to you, which amazes me. And, you know, I just ask him these questions, and it's like what he says is as if, the Republicans are doing great things, and they're really popular, and everything is going great for them. And I'd feel sorry for them, but I feel better.
So anyone who says that or feels that way is obviously delusional. And if your friends are doing that, I would just say, with all due respect, Watch out for those people, Matthew, because they also might think a demon is living inside of you and decide to cut it out someday. You know,
he told me that his main mission in life is to convert me to Christianity. I'm a proud atheist, so.
Well, just hope that he doesn't decide that Satan is inside of you and it's his mission to carve him out with a huge butcher knife or something. Watch out for that, Matthew, okay?
All right. I had one question, though, if you've got time.
Sure.
I've been listening to you for quite some time, of course, and I remember in your shows earlier this year before Air America just completely pushed out on you, you had been mentioning, and understandably so, that the chances of a Democratic win in the Senate or House, and I may have misunderstood you, is a very, very unlikely event. Now, after this whole Foley stuff and all this Republican nonsense, which is really nothing new but has finally come to the light, do you still feel that way? Or, I mean, has something kind of changed? I don't know. Either way, so this isn't.
You know, I'm sure I said that. I don't remember the specific program, but I'll tell you something. In the past several months, past couple of years, I really got pessimistic and just ready to toss in, toss in my boxing gloves and spurs and just say to hell with it. So I would assume I said that in a moment of dark despair.
I remember.
I do believe that the odds are stacked against the Democratic candidates, and part of the reason is because of these horrendous voting machines, these Stalinesque voting machines. Also because Americans have been fed such a diet of fear and loathing for the past 6 years that a lot of people are really terrified and don't know what to do and are misinformed. But the light that's starting to shine for me now, and it's really a muddy light, it's not a bright light, the muddy light that is starting to shine is the fact that things have gotten so bad in this country, domestically and in our foreign policy, our military policy. There's not an area of U.S. policy that hasn't been utterly and absolutely corrupted by this filthy Bush crime family. And what I'm hoping is that Democrats will be activated to go vote. Independents will realize what's at stake and will vote Democratic. Libertarians will vote Democratic, even if they have to hold their noses. And that Republican conservatives will realize that they have been so lied to and so twisted into a knot that they'll say to hell with it and stay home. So I believe there's a chance, that, and a good chance, that the Democratic Party will come out of this election next Wednesday with the House and the Senate, and there's an also a good chance that it's not going to be just barely one or two votes or one or two seats. It'll be massive. So that's my hope right now. All right?
That's so great to hear coming from
you. All right. Matthew, I got to move on. Thank you. I appreciate your call. Thanks a lot, Matthew. Kirk is calling from Worcester, Massachusetts. Kirk, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. Great to hear your voice again on our radio.
Well, thanks. I
got a number from someone on the internet for the Election Protection Hotline.
Hey, can you hold on a second?
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, but I got a break here, Kirk. I'll come right back to you right after the break. This is NOVAM Radio. Stay with us.
Dictatorship seem orderly. When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
Cleaning up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour, back to Kirk in Worcester, Mass. Kirk, thanks for holding on. Where were we?
Yes, from Worcester, Mass, one of the few states that still has the option of paper ballots, even though we have machines. There is a hotline for if you have problems with voting machines, the Election Protection Hotline, 1-866-OUR-VOTE. Just call that number. I think you have to answer some automated questions.
Yeah, but how do you know? But how do you know if you're having a problem, Kirk? You walk into one of these diabolical machines, and you cast your ballot like I have in the last three national elections here. No, and I vote on a deep old machine because I have no choice in Georgia. How do I know? What would prompt me to call this hotline? I think my vote is stolen. I feel like calling them right now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand entirely what you're saying.
The software that is put into these machines is written by people who work for companies that have no interest in democracy or representative government at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade here, but who's supposed to call this hotline? If you walk into a precinct on Tuesday and cast your ballot on one of these machines, what is it that would prompt a person to call? If the machine explodes? I mean, I don't know. What? I'm not trying to be a smartass with you here.
Maybe a poll watchers could call it. I don't know, but I'm just saying
I understand. I understand. And I'm not trying to be, like I said, I'm not trying to be a smartass with you. It's a genuine fear on my part. How do I know? You know, Greg Palast, whom I'm sure you're aware of, has said a couple of times now, they're going to try to steal it. Really make them steal it, which means a massive turnout of Democrats, decent Americans who go in to vote, a massive turnout. If there's exit polling, let the local news media know, I voted Democratic today. I voted Democratic today. Let them know so that when these evil right-wing bastards do try to steal it, there's no point in calling a hotline number. Again, no disrespect to your phone call, but there's no point in doing that. It's more important to let what's left of media know, hey, look, I voted Democratic. Thousands, hundreds of millions of people state, I voted Democratic, and these Republican bastards win because the machines are skewed, then it'll be time to take to the streets. I swear to God it will be.
Yes. Also, could you...
And you know what else? As long as I'm on it, Kirk, I am so tired of calling numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you. I have to break it down here for you. I am so sick of calling this hotline or that hotline or this member of Congress or that member of Congress. I'm so sick of signing petitions. I'm so sick of asking people to please, for Christ's sake, let me live in a democracy. I'm tired of it, Kirk. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm sick of calling whatever number is put out there. Well, if you got a complaint, call this. Well, sign this. Well, send $10 to this. I'm tired of it. I live in America. For God's sake, I'm supposed to be able to walk into a voting place and vote for a candidate based on information that I have on that candidate that either makes me want to vote for him or her or not want to vote for him or her. I'm sick of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm so damn tired of being told over and over and over again by good-hearted Democratic activists, look, this is what we're going to have to do. You got to call this number. You got to see this person. You got to subscribe. Sign this petition. Get on board here. Get online here. I'm so tired of it, Kirk. I could just, I don't know. I could do what I'm doing right now, just bitch and scream about it. I want to be able to walk into my precinct on November 7th. Here in Georgia, and cast a ballot that I know is going to be counted for a candidate that I know is going to represent me, who represents truth and justice and decency and fair play. That's all I want. That's all I want. Isn't that all you want?
Yes, that is all I want.
All right.
Yeah. Can you, I wanted to say, go to innworldreport.net for the best news.
What is it?
innworldreport.net for the some of the best news on the internet. I think it's better than Democracy Now.
Really? innworldnews.net.
Worldreport.net.
Worldreport.net.
Yeah, the news the networks won't tell you is the catchphrase.
Okay, well, I just wrote it down, and I will go there tomorrow when I do research for the program. Hey, thanks for checking. Kirk, I hope you don't feel like I was being porky with you, okay?
Understandable.
Huh?
It's totally understandable.
No, we're on the same page, pal. It's just I'm so tired of asking and begging and pleading. You know, let me have my country back. I'm just starting to get to some tipping point, that's all. Thanks, Kirk. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. Jay is calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Jay, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi there, Mike.
Hey.
Listen, Mike, what I wanted to discuss is I was watching CNN this morning, and who should I see at about 7:10 but Tony Snow.
Yeah.
And he is spinning a line that the disturbances, the violence is down in Baghdad by 43%, I believe, is what he said.
Oh, my God. Where do they get these lies? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, so first of all, how can they tell that it's down by 43% over the last week?
Yeah.
And maybe they were just betting on the fact that as of this morning, there was only one casualty reported for November for U.S. soldiers. Now, there's this site, www.icasualties.org, and I just looked at it, and I saw the grim news that in the last 2 days now, 8 American soldiers have died.
Yeah.
There was 105 in October, and now in 2 days, 8.
Yeah. Well, given a choice of believing this Fox News pig, Tony Snow, or iCasualty.net, I'll go with the website.
Oh, they're very accurate.
I know.
They're very accurate. And you know what the sad part is? That I was in my car, and I think I caught a feed of CNN News on one of the radio stations, and they brought that on as totally news. Good news in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Violence has gone down.
That's a lie. It's an absolute lie. All right, Jay, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Let me move on. This is so much a part of the problem. Media in this country, the reporting of news, right-wing talk programs. Pam is calling from Phoenix. Pam, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hey, Pam.
You know, I wanted to tell you about Herb Payne here in Phoenix in District 3. He's running against John Shattuck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one that people really need to support and be aware of because he very much stands for our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, and he's not afraid to speak boldly and to speak out. One of the things that I heard him say on one of our local shows is that one of the first things he wants to do if he gets elected is to initiate a repeal of the Military Commissions Act.
And what district did you know his website, so people
I'm sure
people in Phoenix are familiar with him, but what's his website?
His website is Payne for Congress, PAINE, payneforcongress.org.
Okay.
And he's just a wonderful person, and he really is not afraid to speak up. He's not politicking like I do see, you know, some mm-hmm. people in the Democratic Party, and I'm as disappointed as you are, but I agree. We need to just vote a straight Democratic ticket, and then I think we'll have to work harder than ever to make sure that they do seek justice, to make sure that they do hold the Bush administration accountable, and that they do repeal these vicious, subversive, these criminal acts that they have passed. And John McCain is, to me, he's such a traitor because it has been such a dog and pony show appearing to oppose torture, and then actually handing this to the president on a silver platter.
No, I so agree with what you're saying, Pam. Oh, my God.
I'm absolutely outraged, and I, you know, I thank you for expressing our outrage for us in such a way. You know, I'm very, very glad that you're back. I also want to mention to you, I don't know if you've seen the BBC documentary Power of Nightmares.
You know, I'm probably one of the few Democrats left on Earth that hasn't seen that, but no, I haven't seen it yet.
You would probably very, very much appreciate it because it does get into the way the Straussian
right.
elite have infiltrated our government. And it really, I've heard, you know, Straussian philosophy, this kind of thing. I didn't really understand it until I saw that documentary
mm-hmm.
and how consciously the mission of the Straussian elite is to create this deceptive battle of good and evil to
right.
in order to manipulate the public. And,
they've done a hell of a job doing it, too, haven't they?
They really, really have. And the more we're aware of what they're consciously doing and how they're consciously deceiving and how they consciously infiltrated the evangelical
mm-hmm.
movement because they're an easily manipulated group of people.
They are. Pam, I have to leave it there, dear heart. Here comes the commercial train. Thanks, Pam. I appreciate what you had to
say.
All
right. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Thanks to the crew that makes this program possible. Billy Foster engineered the program in Phoenix. Kim Macias, associate producer in Phoenix. Thanks, guys and gal. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch, yada, yada, yada. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay. Podcasting and downloads of this program are now available at novamradio.com. And tomorrow night, Brad Freeman on the program, so don't miss it. I forget anybody? I guess not. Teresa is calling from Dallas. Teresa, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. You know, I've been waiting to talk to you for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And you are just awesome tonight. You just moved me to tears. I really mean this.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, 2 months is too long to be without hearing you.
Well, thanks. It's too long to be unemployed. I know that.
Well, I admire you so very much for speaking truth to power.
Well, that's very kind.
Because very many people have the nerve to do this like you do. So you are just a brave, brave person. And, you know, I admire the perspective that you have with your honesty, intelligence, and plain good common sense. I just happen to agree with everything that you say, and that's the reason I enjoy listening to you. I hope you don't mind me complimenting you.
Well,
it's not a compliment.
I think it's very sweet of you, and I do appreciate it. But, you know, I've said before, I just have a hard time with compliments because all I talk about is what normal people like you, Teresa, would talk about if you had the microphone. There's nothing magical or weird about what you believe in or what I believe in. It's just common sense, I think, and respect for this country and respect for who we are. And a desire to see it, to see it go on. We've had 230-year experiment here, and I think it ought to continue. Just about the point where we're starting to learn how to do this right is no time to turn it over to the Nazis.
Oh, exactly, the fascists, right? The Nazis, the fascists. I guess it's about one same thing, aren't they?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must confess, I'm just an addict.
Well, I never would have guessed. Well, Teresa, thanks.
Anyway, thanks again for speaking the truth, and your beautiful voice just comes across so well. Nobody could do it like you do.
Well, thanks.
You're the best.
Thanks, Teresa. I appreciate what you had to say. You take care.
Oh.
All right. Kathy, you've got to send my sister Teresa a letter tomorrow and ask her not to be so blatant when she calls in here. You know, I mean. Just kidding. Thanks, Teresa. Ron is calling from Prescott, Arizona. Ron, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. First time calling in.
Well, welcome aboard.
And I just wanted to say off the bat that I am a true conservative, not a Bush, Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Hannity, neocon artist.
Well, then you and I could probably get along just fine.
And I listen to you 3 hours a day and listen to Alex Jones 3 hours a day to get a balanced view of the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say that the neocons are nothing but a bunch of gangster, Stalinist, Maoist, Hitlerian, fascist thugs who make me sick. And most of the fundamental evangelicals in America are the same way. And one of my hobbies is exposing them for the hypocrites that they are.
Well, you must be kept busy.
Oh, yeah. I spend about 16 hours a day.
Were you a Goldwater Republican, Ron?
No, I was in high school at that time, and I was for Goldwater, but I didn't know anything about politics. I just, you know, whatever the Republicans said, I believed it. I actually argued with a guy about Vietnam that we should be there in college.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, I found out that the whole thing was a scam.
Yeah, yeah, as most Americans did find out.
And I've been studying, you know, political scene for the last, I guess, 30 years or so now, and I get into the conspiracies and so forth, and I know that President Kennedy was shot by a bunch of gangster thugs like Bush, and Daddy Bush was in on that, and Oklahoma City was an inside job, and 9/11 inside job, and the whole works.
Well, sometime when you call in, we'll talk about some real political stuff from a liberal and a conservative point of view. In the meantime, Ron, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks for taking the time to call. People say I can't talk to conservatives. Yes, I can. Jeff is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear you again.
Thank you, sir.
I've been following you for years, and actually I called you a while ago, and then my lawyer told me not to talk to you anymore.
Your lawyer told
you? My case.
Your lawyer told you not to?
Yeah, it's been like 2.5 years. Yeah, I played patty cake with a Republican right after the last election.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so.
Well, everything's okay now, right?
Well, yeah, it could have been better, but it turned out better than it could have also. So we'll call it even. But I was calling tonight about what I'm worried about is, and no one's really talking about it,
yeah.
Bush passed something in the defense appropriation bill about getting a little rider on there,
yeah.
Getting use of the National Guard to send into other states from the states they're stationed in.
Oh, I know. We talked about that briefly last night.
Well,
the end of posse comitatus.
Exactly. And then let's put on top of that what we saw happen in the Bill Bray-Busby special election in California,
mm-hmm.
and Dennis Hastert stepping up to the plate and swearing in Bill Bray without even going to the, you know, I think it was a July 10th was when he should have been sworn in, but he just swore him in.
Oh, I know. It's just incredible how they Republicans no longer follow the law in any regard. Hey, listen, Jeff, we're out of time. I hope you call in again, and I'll get you next time before we're playing the closing theme music. Thanks, Jeff. And thank you for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night with Brad Friedman and much more fun and frivolity. Okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.